ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 7, The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 44. Let's repeat. Vichudara uchu,
Vichudara uchu,
Tvan,
Tvan,
Mayayatam,
Mayayatam,
Abhipatya,
Abhipatya,
Kalevare,
Kalevare,
Asmin,
Asmin,
Kritva
Swai
Shipto
Api
Asadvishaya
Lalasa
Atmamoham
Yusmat
Katamrita
Nishevaka
Udvyudashet Vichadara uchu. The Vichadara said, Tvat mayaya, by your external potency, hatam,
the human body,
abhipadya, after obtaining, kalevare,
In the body.
Asmin.
In this.
Kritva.
Having misidentified.
Mama.
Mine.
Aham.
I.
Iti.
Thus.
Dumati.
The ignorant person.
Upatai.
By wrong roads.
Swai.
By one's own belongings.
Shipta.
Distracted.
Api.
Even.
Asat.
Temporary.
Vishaya lalasa.
Having his happiness in sense objects.
Atmamoham.
The illusion of the body as a self.
Yusmat.
Your.
Kata.
Topics.
Amrita.
Nectar.
Nisevaka.
Relishing.
Ut.
From a long distance.
Vyudashyet.
Can be delivered.
Translation. The Vichadara said, Dear Lord, this human form of body is meant for attaining the highest professional objective. But impelled by your external energy, the living entity misidentifies himself with his body and with the material energy. And therefore, influenced by Maya, he wants to become happy by material enjoyment. He is misled and always attracted by temporary, illusory happiness. But your transcendental activities are so powerful that if one engages in the hearing and chanting of such topics, he can be delivered from illusion. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The human form of life is called atada because the body can very nicely help the embodied soul to achieve the highest perfection. Prahlad Maharaj said that even though temporary, the body can give us the highest professional achievement. In the process of evolution from the lower to the higher grade of living, the human form of life is a great boon. But Maya is so strong that in spite of achieving the great boon of the human form of life, we are influenced by temporary material happiness, and we forget our goal of life. We are attracted by things which will cease to exist. The beginning of such attraction is the temporary body. In this horrible condition of life, There is only one way of liberation, to engage in activities of transcendental chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The word Yusmat Katamrita Nisevaka means those who engage in relishing the nectar of the topics of your lordship. There are two narrative books which especially concern the words and activities of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is the instruction given by Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the book containing topics exclusively about Krishna and his devotees. These two books are the special nectar of the words of Krishna. For those who engage in the preaching of these two Vedic literatures, it is very easy to get out of the illusory conditional life imposed upon us by Maya. The illusion is that the conditioned soul does not try to understand his spiritual identity. He is more interested in this external body, which is only a flesh, and which will be finished as soon as the time is designated. The whole atmosphere will change when the living entity has to transmigrate from one body to another. Under the spell of Maya, he will again be satisfied in a different atmosphere. This spell of Maya is called Avaradatmika Shakti, because it is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in any abominable condition. Even if he is born as a worm living within the intestine or abdomen in the midst of urine and stool, still he is satisfied. This is the overpowering influence of Maya. But the human form of life is a chance to understand, and if one misses opportunity, he is most unfortunate. The way to get out of illusory Maya is to engage in the topics of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advocated a process whereby everyone may remain in his present position without change, but simply hear from the proper authoritative sources about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised everyone to spread the word of Krishna. He advised, "All of you become spiritual masters. Your duty is simply to talk to whomever you meet of Krishna or of the instructions given by Krishna." The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is operating for this purpose. We do not ask anyone to first change his position and then come to us. Instead, we invite everyone to come with us and simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because you know that if one simply chants and hears the topics of Krishna, one's life will change. He will see a new light and his life will be successful. Vichadara uchu tamaya yatam abhipajya kale varesmin kritva mamaham itidu mati utpatai swai shipto pyasat vishaya lalasa atma moham yusmat katamrita nisevaka ut Vidas yet. Translation again. The Vichadara said, "Dear Lord, this human form of body is meant for attaining the highest perfectional objective. But impelled by external energy, the living entity misidentifies himself with his body and with the material energy. And therefore, influenced by Maya, he wants to become happy by material enjoyment. He is misled and always attracted by temporary illusory happiness. But your transcendental activities are so powerful that he one engages in the hearing and chanting of such topics, he can be delivered from illusion." Om Magyana Timrandasya Kananjana Slakaya Shaksumalitam Yena Tasvai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Padale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Pasachade Shatarine. Before Srila, I would like to take permission from Her Grace Narayan Maharaj to say some words. Actually, you should be sitting up here. In the purport, in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada used the word Atada. Human form of life is called Atada. I remember the first letter I received from my guru was an instruction that instructed me that, and he said, the body is a vehicle for self-realization. So it's very important that you take good care of it. So when we come to spiritual life, sometimes in the beginning, there may be a tendency to neglect in the name of performing austerity and enthusiasm. Sometimes we neglect the body. And we did that a lot in the early years. Just recently, we were having dinner with a few devotees like Bhakti Prabhu and Bhakti Jai Satchinandan, Satchinandan Prabhu, Jai Sachi Prabhu. And we were reminiscing in the early years as brahmachari on traveling Sankirtan and how we were just enthusiastic to distribute books all day long, running around carrying these heavy book bags. But we were also very negligent in taking care of the body. And I was telling how when traveling around in Sweden, I was very, very skinny in those days. And the diet we had was just appalling. First of all, we had no idea how to make a chons. I've never even heard of a chons. We were just making dal with some herbs. And that was our breakfast. In the temple, we traveled for 2 weeks. In the temple, we'll make breadsticks, fry in lard, because they thought it was the cheapest form of oil. And we bring it with us for 2 weeks. So we had two Sankirtan party, and our Sankirtan party was considered the more opulent one, because we'll make cheese, a curd, for the whole 2 weeks with a bit of turmeric and a bit of chili powder. But the devotee in charge of the kitchen, or in charge of the cooking and prasadam, was very strict. We had our ration. This is the piece of cheese you're going to get for this today. If you have a piece in the morning for breakfast, you get less or nothing for lunch. So we get a certain chunk. So we just khichdi, dal, cooked breadstick, and a piece of cheese. And lunch was sometimes a banana, maybe an apple, and again was fried peanuts with raisins using lard. And that was our lunch. And after we come back to the from the Sankirtan, we just had a glass of milk. And that was it. That was our diet. And it was like that for a few years. And I was so sick, and also going out in the cold weather with that kind of diet, I became so sick, I just couldn't continue after a few years. I was just sleeping all day in the Sankirtan van. So gradually when I begin to understand the importance of taking care of the body as a vehicle, even though I received the instruction much earlier, I was still had no idea how to take care of the body. So it is important, but then again, what's the balance of overdoing it? Especially in the beginning, we were very afraid of Maya, that now everything is like Maya, unless you are fully 100% focused. We dare not do anything outside of that very narrow parameter that we given ourselves. Because coming in from the material world, we begin to understand how powerful, how strong the influence of Maya can be. And it's stated in the purport here, one of the potency of Maya is avaranatvika. It just covers us over and makes us forget. When I went to Europe, I said before, when I read the Journey Home by Radhanath Swami, it really resonated with me, because I went on that route, but in the opposite direction. So he was coming from Europe to India looking for spiritual life, looking for God. I was going in the opposite direction looking for more Maya. Being attracted by the glamour of the West. And it was very, very austere, because we didn't have much money, so it was very, very austere. I was very skinny in those days. But by the time I arrived in Europe, I was like skin and bone. Because we were very, very careful of how much money we spend on food. Sometimes just bread and jam and some juice, and that was it. So it was very, very austere. And I was glad to arrive in Europe. And that then came the other obstacle. Now we have to survive. So we take on all kinds of odd jobs, working illegally, and getting caught by police, thrown in jail, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, finally, our destination was Sweden. We arrived in Sweden. So although I came to Europe with the intention of more Maya, the Krishna has other plans. So first day I came to Sweden, I was staying at I was given the contact to a Swedish man, and he allowed us to stay there. Then it turned out that he was a life member, and he had books on his table, Bhagavad Gita, and he was playing Vishnu Jan Swami's Kirtan. I had no idea what the Hare Krishna movement is about. The only thing I know was that Josh Harrison or the Beatles has something to do with it. And that was about it. So because I like to read, I pick up Bhagavad Gita and started reading. I thought, this is an interesting war story, a war novel. I kept reading a few pages. By the time I reached the 9th or the 10th page, I said, why so much talking? When is the war going to start? It's just assembling the soldiers on this side, soldiers on that side, and just a lot of talking. And I put the book down. And fortunately, he brought us to the temple. And then it was just attraction. Started reading Krishna book and speaking with the devotees. And that was it. More or less. But anyway, the point was, after settling myself in Krishna consciousness, and I thought back sometimes the how. Even before that, when I arrived in Germany, I started to settle down. I was thinking, actually, I may want to travel on that route again, but opposite direction. It was not so bad. It was adventurous. It was fun. And I forget all the austerities I had to go through, and how hard and how difficult it was traveling in those parts of the world. Anyone read Journey Home? And again, and Radha Maharaj described some of the danger. He almost lost his life there. And it was kind of scary experience going through those places. When we first arrived on the border of Afghanistan, we were waiting for a taxi. I wandered off into the orchard, and just out of nowhere, the soldiers coming pointing machine gun at me. Lucky I was traveling with an Afghan. He started talking, then it was okay. And the next thing was going on the taxi on the Khyber Pass. It was such a hairy experience, because it's very winding, very narrow road. And the guy was thinking he's just driving on a Monte Carlo car race or F1 race. He would just keep speeding. And we tried to ask him, slow down, slow down, slow down. He slowed down for a few moments, and then he was speeding again. It was scary. But anyway, but once it was over, you forget. Later on I realized how strong Maya is, that we forget all the pain, and just the idea that I want to enjoy in this material world is so prominent. So, and Prahlad Maharaj also said in the Bhagavatam that when someone is entangled or absorbed or entangled in the material energy, he has no taste, he loses all taste and no attraction to hear about Krishna. you just become absorbed and just chasing the dream. Mostly just chasing a dream. And Prabhupada gave the example, sometimes we may be thirsty and looking for water. But in the forest, sometimes the well may be covered by grass and we don't see it. And when we keep running and running and running looking for water. And explain, but we forget that water is right there. Right within. The happiness is right within us, but we're always looking externally. And so Prahlad, in a series of verses, says, Matena Krishne Paratas Tova Mito Bipatita Griha Ratanam Adanda Gopi Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punascha Vita Chavanana. So in this way, because of this illusion, we chase this dream again and again and again, tasting the same thing over and over again. The example given is like the cow in India eating sugar cane. You know, India, they don't waste anything. When they grind the sugar cane, they grind, fold it over and keep grinding until there's almost nothing left. When they throw it away, the cows will come and chew on it, spit it out, another cow will come, oh, sugar cane, and take it out and chew again. So chewing again and again, the same thing, life after life after life. And because of chasing the dream, we neglect our true, the true reason why we are here in this material world, which is to achieve Krishna consciousness. That's what he say. Atada, the body can be very nicely help the embodied soul to achieve the highest perfection. And Prahlama said that even though temporary, the body can give us a higher professional achievement. So it's a boon, it's a benediction to have this human form of life. Because only in this human form of life we can inquire about Krishna. But when one becomes too much absorbed in material existence, then that is lost, it's covered, and we may be thrown back down to the lower species again. Nehabi kramana sasti pratyavaja navichate swapam apyasa damasya trayatam mahato bayat. That's the greatest danger, to go down to lower species again, the greatest fear. So even as devotee, one has to be very careful. And Prabhupada said, the problem with all of you is that you're not afraid of Maya enough. You're not afraid enough. So in the beginning, we may be very afraid. Oh, I got to be very, very careful. But as we settle in Krishna consciousness, things become a bit comfortable. The tendency is that we can be a bit negligent. And we become careless. And we get, then Maya get a hook on us again. That's why it's very, very important that we practice the process, take on the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. I was just listening to a lot of lectures, and recently I was listening to the offerings of some devotees on Prabhupada's disappearance day. I think it was last year. Can't remember exactly who said that, but he was referring to a recent meeting between the GBC and the sannyasis in ISKCON. And a lot of points were brought up, and one of the points that was brought up was the concern that devotees are not studying Prabhupada books enough. And Prabhupada, even during his time, he was always complaining, they are not reading my books. They are not reading my books. They think this book is only meant for distribution. But actually I've written it for them. Prabhupada wrote this book for us. But we are not spending enough time reading it, studying it. Prabhupada makes so much sacrifices. In the early hours when everyone's sleeping, he's up translating Bhagavatam and giving his Bhaktivedanta purport. So that future generations can take benefit and still have the association of, with him. So if we actually regularly or daily chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, prescribed round, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then we are immuning ourselves from the influence of Maya. Otherwise, Maya is everywhere. Maya can come in so many different forms. She doesn't come only in the gross form. Sometimes we may be aware, oh, the gross maya, okay, I'm aware of that. But what about the subtle maya? The name, fame, glories, respect, of false ego, pride. So all these are also there. Or sometimes, Radha Maharaj was saying in one of his yatra, that sometimes when we offering of Krishna something, we think we have something to offer to Krishna. And we can become proud. Oh, just see, I'm doing so much. Or just see, I'm offering this. Then again, we are in the hook of maya. Pride, overtaken by pride. And just like it's described in the Krishna book, the gopis, when they're in the rasa dance with Krishna, suddenly they become slightly proud and think, oh, I'm so fortunate. Krishna is only with me. Immediately, Krishna then disappeared. He left. And we get that a lot, especially when you're on book distribution. Right? Sometimes it's going very well and we start distributing some, one or two books, a few books, and you start thinking, oh, I'm so good. On Sunday, they're going to read my scores. And they're going to see how many books I distributed. And think, oh, this devotee is so good. Immediately, maya, bam, smash. And we get miss all kind of nasty people just in our faith. Get away. Get lost. Don't get a job. And so on. And then we are smashed. And we become humble again. And we start praying. Oh, Krishna, 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 please help me. Please help me to do this service for you. And the process go on. And we go up and down. That's why going out preaching, especially going out book distribution, such a wonderful service. And we get so much realization. Remember when we were on book distribution, I was going through so many different emotions, up and down, up and down. Whole day constantly like talking to Krishna, praying to Krishna, speaking to Krishna. Oh, so nice. And remembering that I'm out there, and by the mercy of Guru Krishna, I'm out here doing some service and distributing these books, even though we are not very qualified. So the and we know when, especially when out there, maya is just so close. Just one moment, if we're not careful, and we're taken away. One moment. And because we are in that situation, as soon as we get hit by maya, we feel it, we sense it, and very quickly we try to take shelter of Krishna again and pray to Krishna for help. But otherwise, especially most of us, grihasthas, we're not living in the temple, we're living outside, regular jobs, so many responsibilities. Sometimes you just get carried away, not just for a few moments, for a few hours, it can be a few days, few weeks, few months before we realize it. Right? But if we got close association with other devotees will notice it and say, oh, Prabhu, is something not right? And the interesting thing is that sometimes when we admire, and we know we admire, we tend to avoid the association of devotees. We stop coming to the temple, we avoid the devotees, because you know we're going to be exposed. Many years back when we were involved with the Scandinavian Regional Council of all the temple presidents, and because we were working with one another for so many years, we know one another so well. And we used to gather all together in Stockholm, Sweden, Kaunas, for festivals. Sometimes one temple president, they'll send all devotees over, but he will not come. And so we have to have our own Gopanima here, or Janmasmi here, whatever festival. He will not come. One time it didn't happen. Second time it didn't happen. Then we start to notice. We said, not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. Probably trying to avoid. Something is going on. And sure enough, the next time we will have our meeting there in that temple. And then we find out, yes, things were not right. So, you know, if sometimes trying to avoid association of devotees, that could be not a very good sign. Because they know they're going to be exposed. So the association of devotees is very, very important. Because in the association of devotees, all these different elements of devotional service are present. In the Nectar of Devotion, it describes 64 items of devotional service. And out of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up 5, most important one. And the first one he listed was association of devotees. Chanting of the holy name. Worship of the deities. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And going to places of pilgrimage. What is it that you don't find when you come to a temple? All 5 are there. When you come to the temple, there's all the associations there, chanting of holy name. Just in the last 1 hour, we have all this. The worship of the deities. This temple is a place of pilgrimage. Krishna resides here. That's a place of pilgrimage. So Krishna consciousness is an art. We have to learn this art, how to protect us, protect our tender creeper of devotional service, the bhakti lata bish, being given to us. And we have to very carefully protect this bhakti lata, regularly nourishing it, watering it with hearing, chanting, and protecting it from weeds, rooting them out. Sometimes early years, after practicing Krishna consciousness for a while, all these anathas start to pop out. And we get worried. I say, why? I never had felt this problem, all this problem before. Why is it coming? Right? It's coming out so we know, and we can root it out. We can pull it out. So it's not, and it's a continuous process. It's not that we can slack, I practice Krishna consciousness for the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and I can take a back seat. Maya is right there, waiting. It's just like I think it was Diti. She wanted to have children, a son who can kill Indra. So her husband Kasyapa Muni thought she had performed so much service, so I had to give her this benediction. But he told her that you have to perform certain austerities. And Indra was getting worried and kept keeping an eager eye on the procedure, looking for an opportunity. And one day, Diti after eating, he did not wash his hand or mouth or something like that, and she went to bed. So she was not very clean. And Indra took that opportunity to enter the womb and cut up the womb. And so just a little opening, and Maya can just come in. That's why Prabhupada said, promise we are not afraid of Maya enough. But having said that, Maya also means Maaya. It can also be Krishna's mercy to keep us on our toe. To always, it's just like if we are running. Sometimes when there's no pressure, there's no pressure, I can relax. But if you know someone is poking in the back, you keep running. And you keep running. So it's good to have a little bit of pressure to keep running. And the thing is that we take whatever we can get to move ourselves forward. We are all individuals, we are all different. Different things motivate us. Some devotees may be motivated by just something, and others they may be more motivated by having a little bit of pressure. Then if they can move. Others, they just need some, they don't require that much. They're self-motivated. And they know how to constantly motivate themselves through the process of hearing, chanting, association, other devotees. They know how to seek out all these different angas of devotional service to keep themselves going. Others may not, they may need push. So we need to be motivated in our Krishna consciousness, and we find different ways to motivate it. And that is something you need to do every day. It's not like one day or 2 days. It's just like we take bath every day to keep clean. So every day we need motivation. And hearing Bhagavatam is one. When we hear the glories, as our mind becomes more and more attracted to the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing about Him, we become purified. And a desire in our heart grows stronger and stronger to have more and more association with Him, to His holy name and to His to service. So, in the offering by Niranjan Maharaj, he was saying that one thing he learned, and he was telling, he never had much association with Prabhupada. He was never in the room with Prabhupada. He would never have that kind of personal association with Prabhupada. The only time he met Prabhupada was just in a group, in a class. And one time when he arrived in New York and he was just one of the crowd, he's doing Prabhupada. So what he was trying to say that is, he was talking to the Radhana Maharaj's disciple in Yatra. He said, all of you, sometimes we feel, oh, I was not fortunate to have the personal darshan of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada is still there. He never had a personal interaction either. And he's doing quite well. So Prabhupada's instructions is there, his teaching is there. So he was saying that one of the important lessons he learned from Prabhupada and how he tried to embrace it in his daily his spiritual life is that Prabhupada was always very conscious of what he's doing. He was always very conscious that whatever he's doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, not for anything else. And he told the story of how, as in the early years, and first of all, how he came to Krishna consciousness were very interesting. And this is how the divine energy really moved. He went to a bookshop looking for a book on yoga. So he looked around and he saw Bhagavad Gita. And he turned the pages and there was a picture of this yogi. So he imagined, oh, it's okay, very nice. It looks like a good book on yoga. Of course, when he read it, it was just not just yoga as he thought it is. But because of Bhagavad Gita, he came to the temple, became a devotee. But many years later, 20 or so years later, he heard from one devotee that there was another devotee who placed that book, that Bhagavad Gita, in that bookshop. He didn't sell it to the bookshop. He just left it there. And it was not in the inventory of the bookshop. Bhagavad Gita was not part of the inventory. It just one devotee just placed it there. And of course, when Niranjan Maharaj picked up the book, he had to pay for it. So you just see how just one innocuous act by one devotee, you thought, okay, I place it there. Somehow Krishna is in everyone's heart. He will direct someone to come and pick it up. And Niranjan Maharaj pick it up. Imagine the service that person devotee has done. Bring one person to Krishna consciousness who brings so many more. So anyway, he said he went on Sankirtan, but he found it very hard to go on book distribution. And gradually, he learned to like it, and he was feeling very good and doing the service. Then one day, his temple president called him and said, we need you to come back to the temple. He was a carpenter before. And said, we need you to fix up Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada is coming. And he was arguing. He said, no, how can you take me? This is the most important, you know, those days, book distribution. Anything else is second class book distribution. How can you take me away from book distribution, you know, and come back to do this service? And all. He was arguing with the temple president. And temple president was smart. And he said, anyway, just come back, we'll discuss it. So he came back to the temple, and the temple president took him to the room that he wanted to use for Prabhupada. Two rooms, one with like an ensuite with a bathroom, convenient for Prabhupada's needs. And he showed Niranjan Maharaj, he said, do you think we can put Prabhupada in this room? And Niranjan Maharaj looked at the room, he saw everything was everywhere, was really needs some TLC, that room. He looked at it and said, no, I don't think I would put Prabhupada in this room. So without really forcing the matter, he just so let him come to his own conclusion. It was very smart way of management. And he decided, okay, he came and he started fixing up the room, and then someone donated marble. He was going to put marble in the room, in the bathroom. And one day, the temple president said, okay, I need you to drive me to, that was in Boston, I need you to drive me to New York. And he was like one of the few devotees who had a driving license. So he drove to New York, which was about 4 hours or 5 hours away. And he directed him, okay, go to the airport. And Ranjan Maharaj said, what, is a marble is in the airport, that's what they're going to pick up. He said, yeah, just drive to the airport, parking. So as they were approaching the airport, the temple president said, Prabhupada is arriving today. And he was so happy. He was never met Prabhupada before. So he came, and Prabhupada came to New York, and they had to rush back to finish the job in Boston. So Prabhupada was going to Canada, Montreal, Toronto, and then he was going to come to Boston. So he got everything ready, and he thought, I did such a good job. Yeah, renovating Prabhupada's room. And now Prabhupada is going to pick me out from the crowd, that who did this, and he's going to praise me, and he's going to really get the special attention from Prabhupada. Then while Prabhupada was in Canada, he got a telegram, he received a telegram that Indira Gandhi is prepared to meet Prabhupada. So they've arranged a meeting for Prabhupada to meet Indira Gandhi, who was the Prime Minister at that time. And Prabhupada was trying to get the government to issue long-term visas for the devotees in India, instead of just having to leave the country, renew the visa back and forth. And it was a very, very important meeting. So Prabhupada decided to fly straight back to India to meet Indira Gandhi directly from Canada. So he never came to Boston. That was already in 1976. He never came to Boston, and he never used that room that Niranjan Maharaj put so much effort in. So at that time he was pretty devastated, but then later on he realized, he said, actually the service is important. It's not so much, you know, he offered it and Prabhupada accepted it. Whether you use it or don't use it, it's up to him. So he said that was such an important lesson for him, that you just do the service with the idea to serve and please the spiritual master, to serve and please Krishna. That's our job. How they take it is up to them. How they use it is up to them. We just try our very best to just serve and please the spiritual master. And that's our profession. And by doing so, we get protected. Maya. Otherwise, Prahlad Maharaj just went on to say, Nate vitu sadagatam hi Vishnu, durashaya ye bahi atmanina, anda yatandai upani yamanas te pisa tantrim urudam nibbana. He said, otherwise, everything else is just durashaya, forced shelter. Durashaya. And often the conditions so that we take shelter of so many things. You take shelter of the body, thinking my body is going to protect me. As we're reaching that age, we begin to realize how fragile this body is. How things start to creep up, all the different health issues start to creep up. And then you realize, just like recently I just got one of my good friends. He planted some olive trees in his farm. I said, and I joked with him, I said, when am I going to get the first batch of olive oil? He said, Prabhu, this is all just small plants. It could probably take another 10 years. I said, I'm not even sure I'm going to be around in 10 years. You know, you start to realize, 10 years from now, wow, you know, going to be like in the 70s. And what's the guarantee? Going to live that long. So, yeah, I said, so, but we take shelter. Our body, our family, and our children, a wife, bank balance, my job, my car, just bought a new car. And all these things. And because of this, we become more and more bewildered and more entangled, thinking that this will protect me. But in the Bhagavatam it's described, these are fallible soldiers. And because of this attachment, we become bewildered, become confused. And it's like a coating in our eyes. We can't see. We see, but we don't see. That's what Sutta Goswami answered to Maharaj Parikshit when he asked this question. So in the beginning, that's what I say. He said, we see, the living entity, they see, but they don't see. Isn't you have this experience, sometimes we preach to friends. When you first came to Krishna consciousness, we were so enthusiastic. We said, wow, I have just discovered the truth. And we went back and we enthusiastically tell our friends. Our friends just look at us like, has he gone bonkers? Has he gone mad? What is he talking about? Come on, let's have a drink. What are you talking about? Let's go and have some fun. And you just sit there and confused. Say, why can't he see? I saw it so clearly. Why can't he see? And that's because the mind become bewildered by all this attachment. There's so strong attachment in the material world. That's why Prabhupada often use the word stringent law of nature. I very often use this word. It's very stringent. Once you get tight, and the word also use the knot of material existence, the knot of the most of material nature is so strong, so tight. Once you become bound by it, it's very hard to find a way out. It's like a labyrinth. Material is like a labyrinth. Once you get lost in it, it's very hard to find ourselves out. And so one has to be very, very careful not to get caught in that situation again. And the way to do it is always constantly explore hearing, chanting. And just engage ourselves in devotional service as much as possible. We have to have that determination. Usaha nishadayat. Enthusiasm. Determination, patience. These are some of the principles that are favorable for devotional service. Because without if we don't have the determination, vyavasa yamika buddhir, ekeha kuru nandana. Our intelligence has to be ekeha, one-pointed determination. Otherwise, bahu sakya henantasya buddhaya vyavasayinam. Otherwise, intelligence become many branches, and the resolute determination for devotional service will not take place. Become distracted by this. Oh, maybe this and that, and everything, so many other things become important, become different important. So one has to be very, very resolute in the determination to become Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada has promised one life, the sacrifice, one life. And we guarantee to go back to Godhead. So it's all about making sacrifice. Prabhupada sacrifice, make so much sacrifice. He was comfortable in Vrindavan. I mean, who would want to live Vrindavan at that age of 70 years old? The sadhu in Vrindavan. Fully satisfied, living and above that, living in Radha Damodar temple. Right in front every day, you can see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. What better association than that? And yet, he left. On a boat. 38 days to travel from India to Boston. 38 days. Nowadays, if from Boston to fly to India, how long it take?
1 day.
Huh? 1 day or less than 1 day?
8 hours.
Yeah. Pardon?
8 hours.
8 hours? Yeah. Longer than that. Yeah, just from Europe to India is already like 10, 11, 12 hours. So, just about 1 day, less than 1 day. And he was so determined, 38 days. So nowadays for us to preach Krishna consciousness is so much facility is there. So why we have to find ways? make sacrifices. The early generations, the first generation of devotee in the 60s and 70s, even in the early 80s, they make a lot of sacrifices to bring the Krishna conscious movement to where it is now. So much austerity was performed. So we all make sacrifices. The gopis make sacrifices. When Krishna play on his flute, the gopis just drop everything. Even they were feeding the child, they just drop. Would you do that? Right? You're feeding your child, and then the Guru Maharaj say, "Oh," you say, "Oh, good," and then you run off. They make sacrifices because nothing else is more important than Krishna. So we have to find a way. I'm not saying that you drop your child and neglect your child. Prabhupada also said it's very important to take care of your children. It's more important than deity worship. In fact, in one letter he wrote, that is your deity worship. But the fact is, we have to be willing to make sacrifices in our life. It's not all just about convenience. It's not about being comfortable. In fact, even in the material world, material society, in the corporate world, they talk about you have to be comfortable to be uncomfortable. If you only want to act in a comfortable way, you won't get far in the material world. You won't achieve the success you want in the material world. So what is your spiritual world? We cannot be attached to be comfortable. We have to be willing to accept situation which is uncomfortable for the sake of making Krishna, progress in Krishna consciousness, for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. That attitude will protect us from Maya. The attitude. And especially the attitude that I want to do something for Krishna, I want to spread Krishna's holy name one way or the other. And why, when we develop a strong desire to do that, how is that put us in a position of being very protected? Because when we put ourselves in that situation, we realize, I don't have the capacity to preach Krishna consciousness. I don't have the qualification. I'm trying, but I don't think I'm very qualified enough to give people Krishna. And then that makes us feel that I really, really have to be linked up. I really have to link, be very connected with my spiritual master, very connected with Krishna. And through them, and allow them the power to flow through me. So that makes us, so sometimes for ourselves we may be lazy in pushing forward. But very often, humans, we have this, what's the word that you want to help people? Altruistic. We have this, some kind of altruistic quality in us that we like to assist others. We like to help others. So if we put ourselves in a position of trying to help others, it makes us realize that I have to be stronger. I have to be more Krishna conscious in order to be able to help others. And that was a feeling we had when we were on book distribution. That sometimes people ask me, say, "Oh, can you just tell us what's the secret of book distribution, or how, can we give some instruction?" And I often say the same thing. I say, "Prabhu, it's not just about waking up one day, okay, I'm going to go on book distribution. It's not about that. It's a constant meditation. For us, it was a constant meditation. Whole day. Whether we are on the street or we are not on the street, we are meditating on book distribution. We are focusing. And I was so fanatic in the early days to try to get myself into that mood and attitude. I'll sleep with the book right next to me, the book that I'm distributing, and putting right in front of me, and I'll be looking at the book. And when I close my eyes, that's the last thing I see. And that's the first thing I see when I wake up, is the books we're distributing. Whatever works, that was my early days, that was what works for me. and constantly praying, Krishna, Krishna, I know I'm not qualified, but please somehow help me to become qualified. Help me to become an instrument so that your mercy can flow through to all these devotees. Please, I don't want to be a stumbling block for your mercy to flow through. And sometimes, being young and passionate, sometimes we are a bit passionate and not very nice now dealing with people. And I immediately feel so bad. I say, oh, Krishna, what did I do now? I prevented your mercy from flowing through to this person. Please, I really need. And very intensely, we pray. And then gradually we can tune in, like a radio. We tune in, and somehow we became somewhat successful. And we were able to distribute a lot of books. We constantly doing 60, 70, 80 to 100 Bhagavad Gita a day. Every day we're just doing 80, 100 Bhagavad Gita, just pumping them up, coming here. So that determination has to be there, to be willing that I want to become Krishna conscious. We have to determine within ourselves, this is what I want. I'm very willing to pay the price. Rupa Goswami said, Lauyam. He said, you can't find bhakti anywhere in the marketplace. You cannot just go out there and at the mall, shopping mall, or some Saturday market, and look for bhakti, you know, and try to find it cheap. Shopping mall expensive, I'll go to the market. Maybe find some cheap deal somewhere. No. He said, you can't find it. It's very rare. But if it is available in the marketplace, you should be so eager to get it, and you should be willing to pay any price. So that longing, that willingness to pay the price, is the price to get Krishna. That no matter what I have to do, I want. And Bhakti Notaku in his song is a Lauyan Lala Samaya. The intense greed that I wanted, I want this more than anything else in my life. That's how we get Krishna. Krishna is not cheap. He doesn't give himself to us cheaply. Because by giving himself to us, by giving us bhakti, we control him. Krishna becomes controlled by bhakti. So Krishna don't free, just give himself. You want wealth? You can have wealth. You want beautiful wife, you want good husband, you can have them. You want a good career, you can have them. You just perform some punya, some worship, and then prakriti, some prakriti, and you get. But for Krishna, not so easy. You have to be very, very fortunate to be able to get Krishna. In fact, we are already very fortunate here. We have been given the process. Sometimes you ask, so what, oh, I wonder what price activities I performed must last. I find myself in this situation. Don't speculate. Prabhupada said, I've created the Sukriti for you. I've given you that Sukriti to be able to receive Krishna consciousness. It's mercy of Prabhupada and our Gurudev and spiritual master. So we have to take it, value it, and we can avoid. Then gradually we can develop this resolute determination and not have these many branches. It's bewildering. And one of the very, very important way to keep ourselves on track is to associate with devotees. Take shelter of spiritual master, but also take shelter of senior devotees. Because the spiritual master is not always there, always present. Nowadays it's a lot easier because you can just send an email or you can send WhatsApp or whatever, you can, very quick. Yeah. But senior devotees are present, especially here, we're so fortunate in Melbourne temple. There's so many senior devotees there. A lot of experiences, gone through a lot. And they can share their experiences. Real life experiences which we can learn from. When we hear real life experiences, it's not theoretical anymore. It shortens our learning curve. And from that we can determine. And I think if I look back in my years of devotional service, I find that one of the saving grace, or one of the very strong contributing factor in my spiritual life, is I always seek out association of senior devotees. So when I was a young devotee, young brahmachari, where senior devotee, I would seek shelter of them. I would try to get the association. When Devamrita Swami was there, even as during his time when he was a brahmachari, whenever he come, I would try to sit with him and ask him questions. Then you have Satchinanda Das Brahmachari also at that time. They're all brahmacharis at that time. And I would sit with him and ask him questions. Right up to after his sannyas. And then the other one was what's his name? Krishna Kshetra Prabhu or Krishna Kshetra Maharaj. Always seek the association. And then gradually when I was temple president, sannyasi visit, I always take association of them and ask them questions and learn. And Radhana Maharaj, he said, what does it mean to offer, to show respect to a senior devotee? What does it mean? It means you put yourself in front of that person and with the attitude, you know more than me. Please instruct me. Not this artificial. Prabhu, Haribo Prabhu, Prabhu, Prabhu. If you really respect that person, you want to offer real respect to that person, you approach that person. Offer respect, but Prabhu, please give me some instruction. I want to ask you a question. Give me some instruction. So you're acknowledging that that person is superior, that person knows more than you, he's senior. That's real offering of respect. How often do we do that? We just go around, and oh, Haribo Prabhu, Haribo Prabhu, Haribo, and we miss the opportunity. Every day we're missing opportunities to strengthen our own Krishna consciousness and make more advancement. So every day, every moment, we try to create opportunities to advance our cause in our own Krishna consciousness. Create opportunity. Don't wait for it to come. Create the opportunity. Take advantage of the situation. Take advantage of whoever is around. Take advantage of it. Exploit them. They love to be exploited. They love it. I was just at lunch with some devotees just a few weeks ago. They had some wedding anniversary. So there were some devotees and we were sitting there having prasad. And then one of them was asking, he said, you know, and I was talking about this. And he said, but you know, but Prabhu, sometimes we just think you're busy and so busy. They're also busy. So we don't want to bother them. I said, Prabhu, you got it all wrong. And Bhakta was there. I said, correct me if I'm wrong, Bhakta. I said, but we love to be bothered. We love it when someone come and ask us for some advice or some, ask us to, you know, whatever, share our experiences, share whatever we have. We love it. We get inspired. We don't feel bothered. No. So it's a misconception. I say, oh, but I just don't want to bother you. There's no bother. Because that's the pleasure of the devotees, as described in Bhagavad Gita. They take pleasure in this talking and discussing one another about Krishna, churning the nectar of Krishna consciousness. That's where all the nectar is. So it's just like Maharaj Parikshit, because and Shukadeva Goswami, because he was asking such pertinent questions, he was asking such nice questions. Shukadeva Goswami was so
inspired.
Appreciative of it. He was so appreciative of all these questions because by asking all this, he gave an opportunity to talk about Krishna. You know, and sometimes for a devotee when you ask and he actually talk, they themselves get realization. Because they never really thought it this way. And sometimes I see in the class I'm saying something that knocked me off. I said, oh, what did I just say? And I thought, wow, okay. That's an interesting point. I'm learning. So this opportunity is very good for everyone. Everyone benefits from it. And that's a beauty. So thank you very much for your patience. Are there any comments or any questions? What did I just say about asking questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, speak louder so you can.
I was just thinking in terms of praying, how can we develop that mood of praying? Because we take darshan, but it's kind of blank. It's not a real affection or feeling.
Personal praying. Praying is actually a very, very important part. It's one of the 9 processes of devotional service. And I learned that from Smita Krishna Swami in my early days when I was a new bhakta, traveling with him on Sankirtan. And he was saying that, he was repeating what Guru Das Prabhu was saying about the importance of praying. So at that time he was referring that, saying that praying is such an integral part of Sankirtan and book distribution. One of the like the key success to book distribution. So when I heard, I really took it on board and really, really pray every evening before I go to church. I will really, really pray, thanking for the opportunity to serve and really, really pray to Krishna to please use me, please empower me to become an instrument to distribute this book for the pleasure of my spiritual master and Prabhupada. And before I go out on the street, I pray. So it became a very, very integral part of my spiritual life, praying. Even until today, I did this at home. Every day I sit in front of them and I pray to them. I talk to them and I pray to them. Right. And it became a point, it was an interesting point. Is when I had my own Sankirtan party, I had this one and I was teaching them. So and because we were competing, we were very competitive in book distribution, who's going to distribute more books and all that. And because praying became such an integral part of that, we also started competing in praying. Who is going to pray the most intense is going to be the one who is distributing most books. So if we're lying down, praying, and then we look on the side, oh, he's still praying, so I'm going to pray more. he's still praying. And sometimes the praying, bowing down, praying can take 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. You'll be done praying, really praying. So we offer prayers, sometimes prayers from the scriptures, verse, slokas, but it's also that Krishna is deity from their personal. Krishna is there. We can talk to them. And you realize when you start talking to them and relating to them that way, he reciprocate with you. He really, really reciprocate with you. There are that many, many experiences of that. How Krishna reciprocate when you pray to him. Does that answer? Any other? Yes, bro.
Prabhuji, can we take instructions from our juniors in devotional service?
You can take instruction from anyone. If we find gold in the garbage place, we pick it up. Sometimes if the young devotee is enthusiastic, I'm sitting and he starts talking, I'll sit there and listen and I'll ask him questions and encourage him to speak. Because it's good for him and it's good for me. I'm also hearing. Sometimes I may learn something that I may not thought of. Because you can look at Krishna consciousness from so many different angles. And every devotee has gone through so many different experiences in their life where Krishna interacts with them in so many different ways. So sometimes they have experiences which we can learn from. Krishna is teaching that devotee a certain way and which can also be beneficial. Or sometimes Krishna might use that person to teach me something. I don't know if those who heard, I told this story quite a while ago. The ones there was this one devotee, Brahmachari in the temple, and he wanted to leave the temple. And he actually left. He took off his brahmachari clothing and put on his pants and whatever not. And he left the temple. As he left the temple, he just turned the corner. He met one homeless man who was almost like a drunkard or something. And he pointed at him and said, "Hey, you have this dog collar, but where is your master?" And that devotee like kind of shook him up. He said, "Yeah, I'm still wearing." He forgot to take that off. He said, "I'm my neck big. Where's my master? I just left my master." And he turned around and went back to the temple. So sometimes Krishna is in everyone's heart, super soul, to instruct that person, to instruct this devotee, point out to him. So Krishna can teach us in so many different ways, even to a drunkard, homeless man. Why not junior? But we have to have that humility. In other words, no matter how senior we are, we have to get off that horse, high horse, and walk around thinking I'm a senior devotee. Who is senior? Who is junior? When you think, I mean, if you look at the time, the span of time, 10 years, 30 years, I just kind of completed recently, 40 years. It's not a long time. I look back 40 years, it's just like had gone in a moment. I still remember when I was a brand fresh new bhakta in the temple. Where have all the time gone so fast? What's junior, senior? So sometimes when devotees come to me, they start to become like very, you know, they tend to act with you like, you know, distant. Immediately I close them down. I just sit down, let's have prasadam. Well, who is junior, senior? Let's have some association. Let's behave normally. And that you find also with very senior devotees, sannyasi and all that, many of them are very friendly. And they make you... That's a good, really good senior person or preacher. He make you feel at ease. He can make you feel at ease and comfortable. And you can relate to him as a person. But the onus is on us that we should still see, yes, he's still senior, but he's acting, coming down my level, acting with me in that way. I will reciprocate in that way, but at the same time, I should know where the line is and not be disrespectful. That the onus is on us. And that I always felt that responsibility when I was dealing with all the sannyasi who were visiting the temple. They were always very kind to me, very like treated me like a friend. Right? And so many sannyasi come through and they treat me like a friend. And I deal with them like a friend. And joke and talk and so many things. But I also know like where my limit is. I even make jokes about that with them. I pull their legs sometimes. I know where my line. And also in our regional council meeting, we had Smita Krishna Swami was part of the regional council meeting, their proper disciples in the meeting. And we talk, sometimes we put them on the spot. In this meeting, we are equal. We are managers and senior management position. So you're right, you're right, you're wrong, you're wrong. And you put them on the spot. But after the meeting, Everybody, we know who it is. We don't go out of line. So that's Vaishnava etiquette. How to deal with different levels of devotees. We have learned that. That's culture. That's part of our Vaishnava culture. The etiquette. Does that answer? Yeah. So anyway, there are quite a few things I didn't say, but time is up, so I think I'll stop here. Just cut the story very, very short, that how strong Maya is. Once Indra was cursed to become a hawk, and there he was wobbling in the mud and stew and everything with his family hawks, family of hawks. And no one was taking care of the affairs of the heavenly planet. So it was killing. So Brahma came down and said, "Indra, what are you doing?" He said, "Give up your position, go and resume your position as king of Indra, king of heaven." And Indra said, what? Give up my family? My nice dwelling here? My nice food? How can I do that? He couldn't. And Brahma has to do something drastic to the family member and wake him up. That's how strong Maya is. Once you put in that position, we think this is it. No? Nothing else is more important. Pardon? Oh. You want to have some comments? Alright. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.